Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode, which one is it? 264?
266? 264.
Are you sure about that?
264. Yeah. 262 has been posted.
Uh-huh.
263 hasn't been posted.
Oh, no. It should is that have my been. Fault?
It is. So this is 264.
Okay, good. Welcome to 264. This is Jorge.
Yo soy Mateo.
This is Rhett.
Matthew.
Simon.
We got a couple special guests.
We do.
Would you care to introduce them, please?
Well, first and foremost, we have a leg on my leg. We are joined by my good friend and the prettiest metalhead in the entire world. That hair, that skin, Jesus Christ. Luis from the Gay Agenda. And Luis, since you know this guy better than I do, why don't you introduce him?
Oh,
sorry,
man,
I did not want to assume your gender. Introduce them.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having us.
And that offended me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I'm offended.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much for everything. And I brought with me the person who is actually responsible for the gay agenda, and that is David Hurd.
Yay, round of applause.
Welcome.
Well, you specifically spoke about the gay agenda last time you were here. But
that's correct.
Catch new listeners up.
Okay, we're still gay.
Super gay.
Yeah.
So I think this time I'm gonna give the microphone to David so David can talk a little bit about what we have been up to, and what the
it's
gay
been a
agenda
while.
Is about. Is still. About.
It's been a while.
Yes. It's been a while. I mean, we just released our record, so that came out on June 5th after sitting on it for a really long time.
Ooh.
But no, I mean, things are going up. We had to postpone a couple of tours just because of circumstances.
The things that are happening.
But I mean, it's been received well so far, so I'm kind of excited about that. But
yeah, things are going pretty good for you guys.
Yeah. All the songs are gay.
at an underground level, we can't complain. We're like unexpectedly selling out merch, and people are very, very much buying into the whole being
agenda.
Loud and queer and the image that we project. And yep, nothing but positive answer, brothers.
That's awesome. Yeah, because it's very brashly. Like you've got dick hearts, you've got. Yeah, it's the whole thing is very in your face, and it's awesome.
Penograms.
Close enough. We call it cockagram. Yeah?
I figure.
Close enough, man.
Yeah, because, we talked last week about the distinguish between penis or the
a penis and
the
a cock.
Distinction between penis and cock.
Well, you see, there's always the giving aspect and the receptive aspect.
Penises are very, cute, and they're delicate.
I feel like penises are
flaccid. Like,
oh, tell me more.
But a cock is like, fucking cock.
It's a thick, big, veiny boy.
Yeah.
Cock is something you talk about during the act.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, this is just me.
Please.
Yeah. So, some self disclosure while fucking, I'm not like.
He's silent as a
mime.
Oh,
my penis. I don't use the technical
term.
Oh,
terms. My.
Well, that's because it's not cute at that point.
He goes, oi, my phallus.
Well, I don't want it to be cute. Right. That's not the idea.
Like, oh, my wiener.
It needs to be a throbbing fucking. Blood-filled cock.
Will you please suck my wee-wee?
Yeah.
Penis is
put
like...
Put your mouth on my ding-ding.
I want you to suck it.
That's all he does. He just yells out.
So penis is when they're trying to suck on it, but it's like trying to pull a baby worm out of the ground.
Yeah.
It's like right. Already there. Got it.
Yes.
Penis is almost like
cold spaghetti.
Yeah.
So it's like when you draw one on somebody's face, if it's kind of just like this, that's the penis.
But there's some days that you have a hard-on, and it's a penis. It's sometimes when it's just like,
yeah. If it's awake, it's angry. It's very cocky.
Not always.
If it's awake,
cocky.
Yeah, it's very cocky.
Oh shit!
Rich just like, look at that.
I'm just taking it in. I'm looking for.
I'll bet you are.
It's just. I'm opening my gaping hole to.
Oh my god!
Wait a minute.
It is Pride Month, so.
Go right, right, it is right Pride Month.
It is. And how was Pride started? Does anyone know?
Yes. I
mean, the first Pride was?
It was a riot.
It was a fucking riot.
It was, right?
Did you know that, George? I can't say that I did.
Say yes.
No, I did not know that.
Now Stonewall you know something. Yeah.
And it was, wasn't it a black guy that started it?
It was a black trans woman named Martha P. Johnson.
Yep. Trans woman. There you go. Information. Right. Learning things.
It's in your head now.
Yeah.
You got
in
it.
Your head. No, I'm not going to do that.
It's timely and topical.
Do we even want to talk about this?
About no,
I went last weekend. I went to the protest on Saturday.
Not talk about that. Everybody's got to deal with that shit everywhere. This is a fun show.
Okay,
we don't have to talk about it. But I went on Saturday and it was a really great experience.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Good,
cool,
awesome.
Yes.
All right.
You won't find that shit here.
So that new album's out. Yes. There's no shows coming up because
Penetrating is what it's called.
It is called Penetrating.
Penetrating. Yes.
Amazing artwork. When I saw that artwork, I was like, fuck, I hope that's on a shirt.
Yeah, so it has alternative covers, you know, like two covers that you can, you know, appreciate. Right.
We couldn't pick one, so we're like, two covers.
Yes, absolutely. But we knew for sure that originally when we were playing with ideas, we wanted to use the anatomical approach, like, I don't know, I like to take the piss out of metal and grindcore and things like that all the time because
I learned,
yeah, yes, of course. I learned not to take things too seriously. Yeah. And that's why we entertain the two ideas, but they're kind of like the same. It is an anatomical view of anal penetration, a masculine anal penetration, gay anal penetration. And, You wanna talk a little bit about the artist that did the black and white one?
Yeah, so there's an artist named Blaine Slingerland. He does art for a lot of local bands and hardcore bands in San Diego, and he had just done some stuff from other friends' bands. And I was like, this is so amazing. Can you draw somebody who's getting fucked and it's just their skeleton? And so we commissioned him to do it. Luis designed the other one, but like. They're kind of depicting the same thing, but I like how one of them is like it's penetrating your body and the other one's penetrating your heart.
It's that's really deep.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, in a few ways.
Yep. So and the other illustration that I
that's the idea.
That I already show you guys.
That's my favorite one.
I like that.
George, we should just get that as a tattoo.
Oh, fuck.
I encourage that.
You know, because, like, it'll just look like a heart tattoo on the surface.
Yeah.
But
if you look skin deep.
Yeah. You gotta look balls deep.
Yeah, balls deep.
Balls deep.
Yeah.
Where would you get it?
I don't know.
Tramp stamp is
get
the
it over
only,
your heart, dude.
Yeah. The only place.
Dude. Heart of you know, the I do got, I do got space.
You should get that image and then just, like, tear it up right above the.
Yes. Sounds pretty good. Yeah, I was really pleased because before I even knew the album was coming out, I got a promotional email from like one of the publicists that contacts us. And I was like, holy shit. Like, you know, I remember when you started the band and it's been a crazy ride for you guys doing shows all over. Not now, but like that's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
You better not be doing shows right now.
No, definitely not. No. We haven't even practiced in like
that's months, illegal.
Exactly.
We've been distancing ourselves.
Yeah. Soon though. So right now is our moment to focus on the promotion of the album and maybe print a little bit of merch to go with it because still people are asking for
clamoring, if you will.
Exactly, you know, for cockagrams.
One, you have the vinyl, the limited edition silkscreen vinyl with the cockagram on it, and it's got a cover of Bjork's Army of Me. The only place you can get that, I heard it on YouTube.
That's a good
I'm a fan because that song is like my jam, and I've listened to that. I have like a connection with that song, anyways. So then when I saw that you guys did it, I was like, wow, that's fucking
You don't got no what's the fucking connection with Björk, dude.
The connection was that my ex-girlfriend loved that record.
From Iceland?
And we fucked to that album all the time, so I hear that song. Think about my ex. It's fucking weird. Thanks for dragging that thing out.
MDMA, like, sex with my ex.
Well, you can't just drop that and be like, look, I have a very personal connection.
I did not say very personal. I said I have a connection with that song.
Please... Yeah. Can you please mimic the sound at the beginning of that song, the Björk version?
Like the little explosion part, or the There you go.
There you go.
That's okay, it. Good. Can you do it?
I'm not gonna do it.
Fuck.
You know how it went when I tried to do that Disturbed thing. I'm not very good at that.
Oh
stuff.
Yeah. We should have. You know what?
You can't do the little monkey squeal.
No, dude. It sounded like somebody kicking like a child in the crotch.
I think a new tradition we should do is we should have guests try to do the ooh wah.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea.
But we can start next time, unless you want to try it.
No. Maybe David wants.
I mean, David is the singer, right?
Exactly.
I can't do this today.
So, can you do like Kid Rock or Drowning Pool for us? We're big fans of the 90s, dude.
Well, I will say that I have a guilty pleasure of a crush on David Draymond, like 100%.
Really?
I watch Disturbed live videos with the sound off, just going, wow.
Shit.
That is
fluttering lashes. Yeah. No, the one, it's like this. What is it? The Sound of Silence.
That's the one Matt said he liked. Red, took it back.
Super obvious auto-tune.
Yeah. Definitely cosplay as him for Halloween. Shave your face.
But you have to shave his face.
Shave your face. Put the two fucking like fang piercings there.
That's clever.
I'll do that. Should I do that or the Fanatic?
He could open the door
for trick or treaters going, wah!
The thing is, like, a lot of people would like it, like, non-ironically. They'd be like, oh, that's fucking badass. And then I'd get really depressed. They
start showing you their Disturbed tribal tattoos and
shit. They would. And then I'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and then you will become the biggest Disturbed fan
ever. Right. They'd be like, can I take a picture with you? And I'll go viral online. Yeah. It's like the fucking...
They'll be like, yo, go to that Disturbed guy's house on Halloween.
He's giving out full-size candy bars.
I'm not doing it.
He screams in your face, but, like, it's worth it.
I don't want to play.
So you guys sent us two songs.
Yes.
I don't know what order I'm going to play, but what did you send us?
That's a good question. One of them was Homo Riot.
Yeah. And the other one was Dick
Brent. The other one, I am sure that it was
Dick Brent.
Dick Brent.
Yes.
So you'll hear one in the mid break and then one at the end.
Homo Riot is with Justin Pearson from the Locust,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
That's a good song.
Oh, thank you.
I like it.
It's about Stonewall.
Oh, ah,
yeah.
So
there we go.
Very pertinent about the subject that you were talking about earlier.
That we won't talk
very,
about.
Very topical.
What I was fucking talking about. Yeah,
that's
there you
go. I'll talk about it. You can't silence me, bro.
Silence is violence, right?
Uh-oh. The glasses are off.
Uh-oh. Oh, he did take his glasses off. He's getting fucking serious. More he's becoming more Derek Damon by the minute. Is that his name? I don't even know his name.
Derek Damon.
What is his name?
David Damon. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, Derek Damon.
Damon Wayans, dude. What, dude?
More Damon Wayans by the minute.
That's right. Sounds of silence over here. Wait,
did you say you're going to play a song?
Not right now.
Yeah, oh, during the break. I want to hear a fucking song.
But I'll play it later. Songs, album, not touring, t-shirt selling, album's great. You can hear some songs. Cool.
Wieners. All right.
Yes. Where can you hear the songs?
The album was released on Bandcamp on Friday, sometime allegedly this week. Yes. It's going to be on Spotify and I think all the other platforms and everything. I'm not handling any of this, so we just get a little bit of feedback.
Did we mention the label?
The record's on La Escalera Records, which is a local San Diego label that's doing
heck yes.
La Escalera.
That means the ladder, right?
Yes.
I know that because there was a wrestling match called La Escalera de Muerte.
Not to be confused with Max Cavalera from.
What?
Never mind.
La Cavalera.
Wow. So, man.
It was cute.
That'll make me laugh when I hear this later.
That was for me.
That's important.
If you will make you laugh or suicidal.
Yeah, I know my
one of those two.
Right, I know my audience.
Hey, you can laugh and
know your audience. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, no, you got some fans.
Awesome, right?
It's just like, oh, I'm going to kill myself and this is fucking hilarious. Whoops.
That's pretty good.
Matthew.
Saw, dude.
What's been going on with you, homie?
I don't know if you know this. Fucking gyms are open, dude.
We're not gonna talk about that.
I don't know if you know this.
That is honestly, that's the greatest fucking part of my life right now. I'm so fucking. I cannot explain how happy I am about that. I almost cried tears of joy on the way to the gym yesterday, and my gym never actually fucking closed, which kind of pisses me off.
Oh, you were serious? I was
100% serious. I went in. I thought I saw the door open. I called them yesterday. They answered. And when
they're like,
"Oh,
you're
open."
Yeah, stupid.
Well, when I went in, I was like, "When did you guys open?" They're like, "At 5." And I'm like, "No, like, you know, from all this." And they're like, "Oh, we never closed."
What?
And they're like, "You should have called." And I was like, "The governor said shut it down. Right. You put up a sign that says closed until further notice. Why the fuck would I call?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, people were just calling. We were letting them up. We didn't close one day."
You have to go to the deep web and freaking.
You obviously aren't very good friends with your gym.
But so that's great. I'm really fucking happy about that.
Okay.
I'm going camping tomorrow. That has nothing to do with anything. I'm just really excited about that.
Nice.
He's having a fucking great time.
Life's pretty good, man. Be sure
that you save the song Army of Me in your cell phone when you go to camping.
For his workout routine.
Yeah.
I get all pumped up.
Yeah.
But you know what's special for him, I already
ripped it off YouTube and put it on my workout mix.
Is that song going to be up on Spotify?
No.
It's vinyl only.
Frick. Yeah, it's vinyl only. Except for it is on YouTube.
So that's why I was very glad they put it on YouTube and ripped it before they changed their mind.
Well done, kid.
What about you, Riggedy Red? I know you've moved in the last week.
I moved. I have a new job. The semester ended. My internship ended. We're back here in person.
Are you like 15?
Yeah. We're outside.
Red's whole life just
reset.
He's
like, I got a new job. I moved into a house. My internship ended.
I'm living with a girl now.
Yeah. Damn, that's awesome.
It's a lot of shit.
That is a lot of shit.
A lot of transition. And things are going really... And the gym's reopening. Mine is not because it's some fucking not cool gym like his. Mine's not open yet.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird when yours opens too, because they're saying that they have to move the equipment like 6 feet apart and like...
Yeah, only let so many people in it at
My gym doesn't give a fuck. They're just like, everybody in.
I'm just really glad that... Well, no, maybe for their sake, don't...
Don't go?
No.
Don't say their name.
No.
I'm not telling anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Yeah. Except for all your listeners.
Don't you come to my gym.
And people on Instagram.
If I recognize any of you, I don't tag the gym in it. I'm just like, my gym is open. Boom.
Good job.
I'm fucking smart. It's like when you love a band...
I'm fucking smart.
It's like when you love a band
on a podcast
and you don't want to tell people about them because you don't want the band to get big because you want to keep them for yourself.
Yeah, bands
nah,
are never gonna
be same
that.
Fuck
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Shit. I'm fucking smart.
What's the name of your gym?
It's 24-Hour Fitness. Don't go there.
It's called the Gungeon, dude.
Yeah, the Gungeon, bro.
I got to say, for both of us, we both did take advantage of the quarantine time.
Hell yeah.
As best we could.
Yeah.
So that was important.
It wouldn't be an episode without gym talk, dude.
That's fine.
Get in it.
It's fine. Whoop. Mosquito.
Now let's talk about anarcho-communist politics.
Please do.
Okay.
I got not a funny story, but so the other day I woke up at 3:45 to drive.
That's fucking hilarious.
It is hilarious. For work, I had to go.
I can't even listen to the rest.
I had to be in Palm Springs at 6:30. So I had to get my happy ass on the road 4 o'clock. So I wake up, taking my shower. Wifey wakes up, and she's being very cool. Like, she's like, hey, do you need anything? You know, can I help you with your lunch, whatever? And I go, no, I'm good. Just go back to bed, whatever. So I take my shower. I come out, and she's fucking like...
This is where the story goes downhill.
Can you not call her
wife,
by the way?
Yeah, I can call her wherever the fuck I want. Right. You call your fucking girlfriend Hi Sophia.
I'm just trying to speak on behalf
Sophia.
Of women everywhere. But.
And so...
that is so sweet.
I'm a magnanimous guy. I mean,
she's my wife.
Where did you park your white horse, Rhett?
She could call me husbandy
down the
for
street,
all I give a fuck. Yeah. Jesus Christ, this guy over here. So I take my shower, I come out, and like Ronnie's fucking like bawling. Not bad.
She's fucking bawling.
She's crying.
She's got fucking ice on her wrists, ice on her neck.
Apparently, our dog Dashie had gotten, she let her out to go pee. She had attacked a possum and fucking killed it.
Holy shit.
She mostly killed it. And the
how do you mostly kill something?
Well, because it was pretty much dead. It was just not on its last
leg. Still had those death switches.
It would have been less horrific if it was dead.
No, dude, no.
Tell my wife I love that.
Tell my wifey.
And it gets worse.
Tell my wifey.
The poor thing had babies, dude. And so, Ronnie's a really nurturing, like, kind soul. So, like, hearing those little fucking possum babies, she
put all of them out of their misery.
And I was like, dude, I'm sorry. I gotta be on the road, like, now. So I had to leave her to deal with fucking taking care of this almost dead giant possum and the six babies. It was gnarly.
When you say the six babies, knife. The babies were injured as well?
No, they were fine, but she had to like bundle them up with the fucking mom so that they would
injured
be comfortable.
Them emotionally.
And then took she took them to a rescue, and luckily they took them in, but like I felt terrible the whole day, and of course she did too. But that was
but George is like, cool, have fun with that. I gotta go to work.
It wasn't See later. It was like, I gotta go. I'm sorry, I gotta go to work.
Did part of you expect to come home to like six brand new baby pet possums?
Yeah, she's like, and we adopted six possums. That would have been okay.
How dehumanizing was that for you? To what? Abandon your wifey and that dying animal and its babies.
For me?
Because you had to go make money.
For me?
Yeah.
None.
Yeah. Okay, George. Yeah. I see where you're at.
You see me?
Yeah, I see you.
Anywho. Yeah. That took up a lot of headspace the last week.
Yeah, fuck yeah. That sounds fucking traumatic.
Yeah, well, not for me.
Yeah.
Well, you left, yeah.
You left. You're an emotional.
No, that would suck. You're you gotta fucking go.
Unavailable. That's how you are as a husband. That's
no,
great.
No, you gotta go. I get it.
Oh, shit. So have you guys watched anything, played anything?
I have.
Read anything?
We got sent some books.
From who?
I don't remember who sent them. It wasn't like a listener. It was a publicist. I can't remember his name. But the first book, he was like, yo, so I'm a fan of the show. I realize that you're a huge fan of Tits, Blood, and Gore. Well, if you like Tits, Blood, and Gore, I got a book for you. So he sent me Body Art by Christopher Triana. Hmm. It is not good at all. Prose is like it's written by an 11-year-old who's never even held somebody's hand, and he's trying to describe explicit sex acts. It has been painful to get through 40 pages of it, but I'm going to finish it because I'm a glutton for punishment. So that's fun.
May I ask, does it have the three things that you love?
It tries to. It's, they talk about like how this guy doesn't feel comfortable licking his girlfriend's ass because, like, you know, that's where poop comes from. And I'm like, oh, man, this is
what a fucking prude.
Right. I'm like, this is very immature. And like my wife, you've met Alia.
My wife
is.
Oh, you don't bust very, him for fucking saying wife.
He didn't say wifey.
What does it matter?
It doesn't.
Mine is.
Well, it doesn't matter
that
I made a fucking
dude.
Joke about it. It doesn't. Nothing matters. That's right. We get all nasal here.
So anyways. My bitch is really into fanfic and like smut and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And so I sent her a picture of sacred. One of the pages, and her response was, "No, oh no, that's awful. Like it doesn't even stir my loins." So that's the worst part.
You know, I might have a book that you'd be interested in.
Of course. I'll check it out.
So there's a book called Exquisite Corpse, and it's by an author.
I've read it. I own it.
See, there you go.
I own it.
I bone it.
There you go. I have Exquisite Corpse.
Does this writer have a tough time writing women?
He has a tough time writing humanity. Anybody.
Chapter 20, Shattering Bone, Jetting Blood, Hard Cock, and Flushed Pussy. He's like the Hemingway of erotica.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that I would
flush dick.
That far.
Suck dick. Good night.
Also, broken bones.
Dicks out.
All
gentlemen.
Alone.
Is it in?
There was another book that came there, and the funny thing is, this was the book that he was trying to sell me on, and it's a coloring book called Cemetery Picnic.
Yay.
But the thing is, it's by my former tattoo artist and the guy I used to sell merch for like 10 Ooh. Years.
We had a little post-up
about
this,
right? Do we
have
more than one of these?
I think I can get some. But yeah, so Cemetery Picnic, Sean Kama, he used to sing in a band called Damnation. He used to sing in a band called... Blood Junkies and Sean Kama and the Kings of the Wild Frontiers. I sold merch for those bands back in the day, but now he's done a children's coloring book full of like all kinds of spooky, kind of nightmare before Christmassy kind of stuff. You can get it on Amazon for like $10. And I always love Sean's art, and I really feel like for the medium of a coloring book, his art is really good for it. Because it's kind of
childish.
It's
cool, dude, because like he only has to do art halfway.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to leave that there.
I'm just kidding. Actually, it's a coloring book.
He does owe me a Medusa painting from like 15 years ago. But, you know, like, well, we don't talk about that anymore.
There's a dead fucking alcoholic drunk guy here. Check this out.
It's your future, dude.
Yep.
It's me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, alcohol update, over 11 months now.
Congratulations.
Closing in on that year, bro.
Damn,
then it's time to get fucked up.
We're going
to
go karaoke.
Are you
going to
do that when you're in a year?
No, like not, no. Like not on the day, like, but I'm at least shooting for a year with none before I do any. But I honestly, at this point, still have no desire to.
And then it's just going
to
crack your head even worse.
Crack my head.
Yeah. We're definitely going to go karaoke, even if you are still.
I'm going to do that sober. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I miss karaoke so bad. And I've gotten super into K-pop in the last like month. No joke, man. I can't, because y'all know I love poppy ass shit. And
we do.
Bubblegum K-pop is kind of like the greatest thing for me.
So tell me how much K-pop influences the gay agenda.
Yeah, that.
That, there, very that.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Yep.
There are rhythms in both forms of music.
Yes, there are notes.
There are notes and
there's a melody.
And gaps between the notes.
Yes.
And they're more in common than different.
Right,
right.
Of course.
Objectively.
Yeah.
I watched a movie called Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think, man?
It's fucking great.
Really?
I didn't realize it was a Taika Waititi movie, and I kind of wanted to watch it anyways. And then
I thought you'd like that. Did you see any of his other stuff? I mean,
I've seen almost all of his other stuff.
Did you see Thor Ragnarok?
I did see Thor Ragnarok, and I actually enjoyed Thor Ragnarok.
I figured you would.
I didn't think I was going to like Jojo Rabbit much.
Your boy's grown up.
But it's a fucking comedy about a kid who has Hitler as an imaginary friend. How am I not going to love it? I mean,
but you also don't like RoboCop.
Because RoboCop sucks.
RoboCop
is a terrible piece of garbage movie.
Oh.
If that's the hill I got to die on, that's the hill I'll fucking die on.
Why did you say that?
Just because I needed one. We needed one on while we were here.
Triggered.
I watched a movie called Border, which I don't want to tell you anything about it, but
it's on Hulu, right?
Yeah. If it wasn't from 2018, this would be my number one movie of the year.
Are we watching that for an episode?
We could. It's fucking something else.
I was asking him if he thought it was a horror movie. He says he could see it.
You can make the argument either way.
Yeah, so we might want to consider.
Yeah, so I'm considering.
It's fucking great, though. It was kind of presented to me as like a Love Conquers All kind of love story, and I'm a sucker for those, but it is until a point, and then it's not. And then it's something completely...
And then it's really not.
Something completely different.
Okie dokie.
That's free on Hulu. I watched a movie on Shudder called Confessional. Not very good. Very predictable. Kind of fun. Whodunit, but not as good as like that one where they're all in the mansion that's kind of like Clue. That just came out.
Knives Out.
Thank you.
I like Knives Out.
And then...
I told you. I just wasn't my thing.
Okay. That's right. You didn't like
you
it.
You fell asleep through the whole thing.
Shut the fuck up.
And you haven't even watched it. And you haven't watched Prayer of the Roller
Don't you ever
Boys,
speak.
So I don't even need
speak
to fucking
to my
ask
uninformed
you,
opinion.
I know that you haven't seen it.
Speak to me. Shut your mouth.
I watched Bloodsucker Jones again. And I still love it. I was like, why would George not like this movie? He's fucking dumb. And then I watched it and I'm like, no, I see exactly why George wouldn't like this movie.
What do you think of Osmosis Jones?
That's with Chris Rock. That's great. Good stuff.
All right.
And then finally,
Indiana Jones.
I watched a movie called She Kills that was sent to us by Hans Gretchen. Happy birthday, Hans.
Yeah, he called you out and you watched it, huh?
He did. And I streamed it on his birthday. It's pretty fucking bonkers, which is fitting because the director's name is Ron Bonk. And Hans promoted it to me as
Bonk's Adventure.
Tits, Blood, Gore. It is tits, blood, gore.
TurboGrafx-16.
This woman's vagina has been touched by Satan, And so
what part?
Well, I think I know her.
I'm assuming like
the soul of a woman was created below.
Yeah, well there you go. He touched her soul below. And
I didn't say that. Robert Plant said
now
that.
She's got like this thing. And every man that comes in contact with her Satan infested vagina gets like kind of this curse kind of thing. And then she has this ritual from a like voodoo lady who cleanses her vagina, but evil now lives there and it has to be used to fight men, but she can never be with a man again. So it turns her into a lesbian, but then she uses her vagina to murder men. Like she basically death by snooze them.
Uh-huh.
There's a part where she's like riding this dude and she grips his dick so hard.
Snaps it off.
She pulls it off and it winds up stretching like, you know, a good 8 feet or so. It's definitely interesting. They did kung fu with a fucking dog. Like they ripped the dog in half and then used him as nunchucks.
Okay. I gotta see it.
They stretched a cat into like a bow staff and then they had a fight. It's fucking wild.
Okay.
Wild.
Kind of into
What's
that.
The tone of this? Is it like satire? Is it like, I like it's fucking dark out here.
It
now.
Feels like a very cheesy 70s porno, like with the music, the acting, and everything, but it's from 2016, I think. So it's very tongue planted firmly in cheek.
Gotcha.
Tongue planted firmly in vagina.
Evil vagina.
Yeah. That kind of makes sense given what I was imagining with what you're describing there.
I mean,
you can't fucking. You can't have this deadly serious tone if you're going to do that with animals and shit, right?
No. Yeah. Yeah, dog nunchucks.
That shit's a mistake.
It's not serious. Got all spooky.
What?
I'm back.
Oh, he's back. He's coming back.
Okay. What about you guys? Have you watched anything that would be fun to talk about?
Well, I was telling you guys that a couple of days ago, I watched a bit of Killer Condom. Mm-hmm. Which mm-hmm.
It's a trauma film, right?
Absolutely. So that's what I've been watching on. And finally gave a chance to this movie that a couple of friends were talking about. It's called A Dark Song.
Oh, yes.
Loved it. Absolutely.
You hear that, Tom? Fuck you, Tom.
Damn. Don't say that.
Well, I think it's very interesting the fact that sometimes you have a movie who has, I don't know, a little bit of a ritual, touch or scene here and there, you know, or in with the usual, all the altar and the people worshiping and blah, 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 blah. But you rarely see a movie that in its entirety is a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The movie is a ritual from beginning to end. So right. I think that is kind of like groundbreaking in terms of like making a movie. And I absolutely love it. And talking about being a sucker for, I don't know, hopeful or happy endings or whatever, happy endings, I absolutely love the message of that movie. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to ruin the experience of anybody. But again, you never expect to find that type of message at the end of a ritual.
I love that ending, the ending also. Oh, yeah. All three of us love that movie. I think they, without giving spoilers, I think they liked the ending a little less than I did.
Yeah, definitely thought it was a little hokey.
I liked how it went to both polarities and shows the full range of both. And I think it's the most, like for me in movies, it's the most authentic ritual magic stuff I've seen put on film.
It feels like it's based in.
I think it was
all the preparation.
I think it was based after the actual rituals that Aleister Crowley used to do.
It's the Abramelin ritual. Yeah, Abramelin.
Right.
The one that was like a month long or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was. Yeah. He went out.
It was everything the Alchemist cookbook wasn't.
Oh yeah.
Right.
That was not a good film. About yourself.
Well, as far as horror movies, the most recent thing I watched...
It doesn't have to be horror. Anything interesting?
Kind of an older one. I watched the French version of Martyrs.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Which, I fucking love that movie, but I mean, it's kind of old now, so everyone's seen it anyway. But, I don't know, I just like how the whole movie started out in this horrifically graphic movie that seemed to be about this girl with mental illness, and then it flipped into this completely different story like towards the end of it, like, oh, you didn't even realize what this whole movie is about this entire time. And I don't know, it's just
we did it for a Patreon episode.
We did,
and I hadn't seen it until the Patreon episode. I love that movie.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the best horror movies I've seen this century.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I like existential stuff, and that's it's fucking got everything I like. Yeah.
See, Martyrs is one of those movies where you either really love it or you're kind of just
lukewarm on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the people who love it, like, love it.
Well,
yeah,
I watched it with my boyfriend, and he hated it because he can't watch torture porn movies. And he's just like, is this going to stop at some point? I was like, no, this is great. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you know what's weird about, I know that Martyrs gets called torture porn a lot, but I don't even think it's that. I mean,
they do. I mean, they have like a lot of unflinching, like, you know, violence in it, which, I mean, a lot of people consider that torture porn because, you know, to an extent, a lot of violence in horror movies was either very subtle and kind of like done off screen or hidden, right, or it was very campy, like the Friday the 13th movies, like, where it's just like, here's people's heads flying everywhere. But right. Martyrs was one of, not one of the first, but one of the first bigger releases that went really kind of for the throat. And like the, all of those French Extreme, I don't know if you've seen like the other ones, like they had Livid, they had Inside, they had Frontiers, and High Tension. Like those were the five big ones that came out like all around the same time. And Inside is one of the best movies ever, George.
Okay, man.
Regardless of how much you don't remember that movie.
Well, Hostel is not so bad neither, you know, but it's also torture porn.
I don't think
and that was around the same time.
I don't think High Tension is as liked as Inside.
High Tension can get fucked,
but I like High Tension more than Inside. To be,
you like those giant plot holes that you could drive a truck
come
through.
On dude.
Like, okay. Dude, okay, when you get to the end of High Tension and you realize what's happening and you go back and watch the movie again, you're like, none of this makes sense.
You did.
None of this is
You've
possible.
You've seen the movie Inside, right?
Yes.
You forgot that none of it makes any sense.
What do you mean none of it makes sense? It's based on actual events where a woman tried to cut a baby out of another woman's stomach.
Well, so was
that's
the
whole thing.
So was the movie fucking 2012, but that's a piece
what
of shit.
What is 2012? Oh, the fucking apocalypse movie?
Yeah, man.
That is not based on actual events.
Sure it is.
That's based on speculation.
Wait, that's a bad analogy.
The one, where like, nah,
it's good. It's good.
Where they shot her through the door, and when they're stuck in the bathroom,
they stabbed her through like the she had her hand on the door, and they stabbed her through
maybe.
Her hand.
Yeah, because I think I saw that movie a long time
ago. Yep, she spends a lot of time in the bathroom. The bathroom winds up completely covered.
Almost
red.
Yes. Almost too much time. One would say
no.
Almost
dude,
an inordinate amount of time. In
like,
the bathroom.
What are you going to do if somebody breaks? Well, okay,
I need to watch
not you
because
you've got all the guns, but like, you know. Most people, like, what are you going to do if somebody breaks into your house? You're going to try to fucking hide or protect yourself. This woman is pregnant and by herself in a house with a woman trying to cut her fucking stomach open and take her baby. I would sit in the fucking bathroom too. I'm not going anywhere. I ain't got no cell phone. I'm staying right in that fucking bathroom. And I'm going to have that toilet lid and I'm going to clock that bitch if she opens the door.
Damn. Damn.
Yeah. Old white. There's lots of old white bitches in that movie.
Hella old white bitches.
What about you, Riggedy Rhett?
I haven't. I got a lot of stuff that's been going on, but with Hi, Sophia.
I already said it.
Did you? I'll fucking say
so
it
did,
again.
So did
I'll
George.
Say, I'll say the rest of the night.
Is that all he's gonna say?
Wait.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
Are we good? Are we good? Are we good? So we watched Trading Places. We watched Black Klansman. Yeah, there was
a good
theme.
Flick.
It's a fucking great movie. That is a great fucking movie. Both of them are. I mean, when's the last time you watched Trading Places?
Like 3 years ago?
It is fucking
That's
hilarious.
Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah.
God, I don't know, dude. It's been a minute. But I did watch, you know what I did watch? Kind of on the same theme, Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
That thing is a fucking monster of a movie, man.
Yeah. It really is.
I love it.
I have a large obsession for Madeline Kahn. She's pretty much my spirit animal.
That's awesome.
Tired of playing the game. Yeah, she's
with
pretty.
Hundreds of men again and again. Yeah. It's coming and going and going and coming.
There was actually
always too soon.
There was this video, YouTube video that I watched a couple weeks ago about Gene Wilder, just how incredible of an actor he is, just how he's able to like manipulate the people he's working with.
Right.
It's I'll find the link for it and I'll throw it up on the Discord. Hey Matt.
Saw dude.
What's up with the
Patreon, dude?
Wait, is that all you've watched?
Also,
oh, no, I'll get to it. But
Rhett's got more. You're just gonna interrupt Rhett?
We were all fucking balls deep. She doesn't have balls, but it's figurative balls. She's ovaries deep.
Metaphysical balls.
Metaphysical, like the astral form balls.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Lady balls.
Proverbial
into
balls.
Twin
when
Peaks.
You're metaphysical, you have both, all of them, none of them, however you want.
You don't know shit about metaphysics.
Duh. In other dimensions, like, he's got all three at the same time.
Right. In other dimensions, and in this one, we are all one, but we are not.
Whoa.
Jesus Christ. Bro. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me get back to Twin Peaks, which Matt hates.
What?
Yeah,
do not like it.
Dude,
I don't understand.
It is one of the greatest fucking things, because I like David Lynch, but I know this is like disgraceful for someone who likes David Lynch anyway. I had not ever gone and done the Twin Peaks thing until recently, and we're right in the middle of season two, which has a bad rap. I think season two is fucking like...
It's phenomenal. Yeah.
The first, like, we're on episode 7. I know, like, no one knows these episodes by name. They're not watching them like I did last night. But it was fucking, dude, it's just great. It's pure Lynch. I can't wait to watch fucking Fire Walk With Me. I can't wait to fucking get to the new Twin Peaks series. Mm-hmm. And of all the stuff I've shown, like, Sophia, like, the stuff she likes the most is David Lynch, which is...
That's pretty good.
It's really gratifying. Yeah. It's like, this is fun. Let's fucking do this whole David Lynch discography.
I've watched all the Twin Peaks multiple times.
Well, dude, I look forward to watching
it. That's your jam?
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite fucking TV show.
But have you played Alan Wake?
No.
Alan Wake is basically a video game based off of Twin Peaks-ish.
Well, because this shit is so funny.
So then it's a non-story.
So funny, yeah. And then it disorients you, and then it gets so fucking unsettling. Because you're so destabilized. I mean, I love the show. It's one of the best.
I don't want to compare them one to one because obviously they're hugely different shows. But like, in a, which show affects you more, X-Files versus Twin Peaks?
Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me. Speaking of which, David Duchovny had his debut in Twin Peaks.
That's true.
Which is which is awesome.
As Denise.
Cool. Yeah. As a tran guy. Yeah.
Trans person.
Excuse me. I got confused with my... This person is trans. David Duchovny as David Duchovny. Twin Peaks is more for me. Like, okay. Absolutely. I love X-Files and the subject matter and all that. I could just read about the subject matter for X-Files, you know? Honestly, but...
Cool.
Yeah.
I like how he looked at us. Excuse me, you know. Like,
oh no! I wanted you to make fun of him, but you were right there already. Yeah.
He's like, "Ooh, can I say
excuse
that?"
Excuse me.
Actually, I was looking at him more than anything.
Me? Why?
Just kidding.
Because I got long hair, dude.
Yeah, dude.
What are you trying to say?
You're pretty, dude.
Oh, thank you.
That's right. I would be remiss if I didn't.
That's the quickest way to my heart. Just tell me I'm pretty.
Yeah. You know they got a donut fucking thing in Twin Peaks. They're always eating donuts and shit. Last night I went and got a half dozen and watched Twin Peaks.
Cherry pie.
Yeah, if you eat fucking donuts while you're watching Twin Peaks, it is blissful. Because like they started eating donuts, and I was like, "Oh my god, I'm fucking eating donuts with them right now."
Is that like he was fucking and watching porn, or like eating food and watching the food?
He was going bite for bite. He was like,
dude, it was so fucking good. I swear.
No, it will be awesome to eat ass while reading that book of the guy saying that it's gross to eat ass.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
It's like, how would you do that? You have it rested on their back, or you have it over to the side?
You have the person whose ass is being eaten out read it.
Oh, they read it to you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna eat ass while watching The Human Centipede.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
That's pretty good. I like that. Total immersion.
I mean,
but you have to give it to him.
If you want total immersion,
it's on the nose.
You have to eat ass while someone is eating your ass while you're watching Human Centipede. Otherwise, you're only getting half
the
experience.
And then you have to sew your mouth to the asshole and have like a weird European doctor say, well,
you gotta,
say
you gotta
stupid
build
shit.
Up to that. Oh. You got to build up to that.
Okay. Say stupid so shit. Meta. Oh my God, that's funny. I have been watching Money Heist.
Fuck yeah, you have.
I have continued to watch Money Heist.
Fuck yeah, you have.
That's the one with Wesley Snipes and
no.
Yes, that's Tower Heist.
I thought that was Money Train.
No, it's Money Train. Yeah, you're right.
He started the Tower Heist bit last week.
What's the movie that is kind of like Pontypool that everybody is going fucking nerdy about right now? It's like a high school, it's like a 1930s thing in a radio station.
No idea.
Oh, you're talking about in the dead of night or
in the dead of night or something like that.
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
Yeah, it's okay.
You watched it?
Yeah. So I watched this
you
movie.
You sound offended.
No, I've been wanting to watch it.
I watched it and I feel
you watched it without me.
Like I feel like they were like, oh, dude, Pontypool's pretty good. Let's do that, but with aliens. And then it's just kind of...
So it's like when you got a paper to do and you don't want to fully plagiarize it, so you take one and you change a few words?
No, you tell your dude, like, you copy my notes, but, like, you know...
Change it up
a little bit so they don't think you copied. It's okay. It's got a lot of, like, wow, see here! That kind of...
That's the best. Well, come back when you got some money, buddy.
But it's still a little bit difficult to watch because you're like, well, this guy clearly... is a hipster from fucking 2020. And he's like, what do you think about this cigar, buddy?
Giving away his plugs and his tattoos. Yeah.
What if I told you there were always
hipsters? Yeah. So, I mean, I would still recommend it. I just don't think for what it's doing, I think that if you're going to watch that film, watch Pontypool instead. It's a much, much better film.
I haven't even seen the other film. Really? I agree.
Have you seen Pontypool?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, didn't we do it for a...
No, we have never done it. Wait, did we do it?
We did do it. I did it with you guys.
Yeah, because
we did it all together.
I did it with you guys. All three of us did it together.
You guys have all done it?
We've all done it together. Yeah. Multiple times. At least once a week. Most of the time.
Here for it.
We've done it about like 50 times in the last year or so, right?
Yeah, I guess.
52, at least.
Anyways, is that it? Any news we should get to?
Ari Aster said that he's going to make another terrible movie, but he's going to make it twice as long this time.
You didn't even fucking think his movies are terrible. Bro, go back to the episode. They're not.
How are you going
to
do a 4-hour horror comedy?
Are you getting mosquitoed?
Maybe.
I'm going to turn on a torch. I'm going to get torched.
I mean, if you were a mosquito, wouldn't you bite him?
He wants to do a 4-hour horror comedy?
Yes.
I am so fucking on board.
How can you, I can't even understand how you could do a 4-hour comedy, period.
Well, how can you do a 12 fucking episode Netflix show that people binge in one night? It's like, why not? If it works, it works, you know? 4 hours, 4 hours. I'm totally fine with
it. I think the difference is that, like, you're not necessarily making a commitment when you start watching a show, but when you watch a movie, you're sitting down.
Yeah, I get that difference, but I mean...
hours, dude.
I mean, you can leave. You don't have to sit there for 4 hours.
You have to do the whole thing. Did you not catch the glutton for punishment part earlier? That's why I got to read that terrible fucking book, because I'm hopeful that it'll get better.
It could come out and you could fucking love it, though. You don't know yet.
I'm not very optimistic about it, though. I'm not happy.
Robert Eggers, the Lighthouse guy, and what was the other? Oh, The Witch. Both pretty good movies.
Mm-hmm.
The Vivitch.
The black metal. Yeah.
It's so
witch.
Metal.
Yeah. True.
He's doing, his next film is like a horror drama Viking saga thing.
Cool.
That sounds fucking great.
Asian fusion Tex-Mex. Throw them all together. Who fucking.
Yeah.
You know, we'll
why
have
not?
Like some.
Yeah. What do you got against Tex-Mex?
We'll have some fucking dancing, you know.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, how dare you?
Yeah. Never mind. You're like, dude, San Diego.
How dare you love Tex-Mex?
Tex-Mex is horrible. I had to revoke that immediately. I'd much prefer ground beef in my tacos to carne asada. You know what I mean?
What?
It's much. I'm fucking kidding.
I thought he was serious for a second.
Is that a little smoky to you?
No.
Okay. All right. Just tell me.
Well, it's time for me to get excited about that 4-hour Ari Aster movie, dude.
Yeah.
You're all, yeah, it is.
You go right ahead. And then The Wretched is still killing at the box office. It's, I mean, for what it is, it's done $1 million. And Becky, the new Paul Blart movie, did $200,000. So it's pretty cool that, like, since the theaters aren't open, it's giving horror movies a chance to really thrive in a medium where they normally wouldn't. Because, I mean, watching a horror movie at a drive-in is fucking tight.
That's the way.
It's just atmosphere. I mean, if you were surrounded by woods, you know, if we lived in, like, not the desert, it'd be a lot cooler. But,
Yeah, that's how Sophia and I watched The Wretched. It was fun.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Even if the movie sucks, it's fun because it's a drive. And also, like, the novelty's back right now. You're like, I can't believe I'm outside.
I get to do something.
Movie. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, like, if the movie sucks,
you can
that.
Are you getting smoked out?
Go to sleep.
No.
Okay.
It was coming off.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure you're comfortable.
Mm, thank you.
And then that's pretty much it.
What about me?
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about you, dude.
I might play Resident Evil 3 again because somebody modded Shrek in the place of Nemesis. So, I think that would be really fun, so I might do that again.
Yeah.
But
what have we been playing? With nothing, right?
Nope. I started playing Dead Space and streaming that on our Twitch.
Okay.
That was a great fucking game.
That's I'm still playing Dead by Daylight, and by the time this episode goes up, the Silent Hill chapter will be out. I did get to play that. I don't know if I talked about it last week. But,
you did not. Go ahead and talk about it.
Pyramid Head is fucking awesome. He moves a little quicker than I would like.
Okay.
They changed Heather Mason's name to Cheryl, but it mostly looks like her. The Silent Hill map is fucking great. It's got a lot of the like fleshy, twisty, metal-y stuff that Silent Hill is well known for.
Twisted metal.
And as somebody who loves Silent Hill as a whole, I'm just very excited that it's got some kind of new lifeblood in it, and hopefully that sparks like a rebirth of the franchise. And rebirth is very big in the Silent Hill universe.
All right, cool.
Yep.
Let's see, more Dead Cells.
You watch any shitty zombie shows?
I watched a shitty zombie movie.
Oh. Woo!
Hot take.
Let's get that. We'll get that.
All right. Anyway.
You watched one cut of the dead.
Any more news we should get to?
Nope.
Sir?
Nope.
Anything last you want to talk about before we get to the break?
No, not really.
They're like, Brent? Let us just talk about this fucking movie already.
Yeah, We're good. I think we covered a broad...
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about a couple things.
This is Homo Riot off the Gay Agenda's new record, Penetrating, out now.
I've got to remember to play in Homo Riot now. First.
Yeah.
More than out now, in. Yeah. In and out.
In and out. In and out.
In and out.
Wait, that's that Kevin Kline movie, right?
No, that's Inside Out.
Inside. No, it's In and Out, right?
It's In and Out.
In and Out's a restaurant.
It's also a Kevin Kline movie.
No, it's Inside
We're gay,
Out.
We know. It's not Inside Out.
Is it In and Out?
The gay
In and
Out.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's In and Out of the Closet.
Yep.
Girl. What's the name of the Pixar one?
Inside Out.
That's Inside Out.
Yeah.
Well, I love that. Good too. I love that Kevin Kline movie, dude. That and he's gay. Fuck.
I saw that in high school, and I haven't seen it since.
You know who directed that, bro?
You asked me this the last time I mentioned it.
Frank motherfucking Oz.
There you go.
Who's that?
Miss Piggy, Grover, Yoda.
He did, like, the voice of him?
No, he directed the... Yeah, he does the voice of those, and he directed that. He directed What About Bob?
Oh, I love What About Bob. Yeah, I saw that in the drive-in.
He's basically like a fucking saint, actually, the more I think about it.
Dude, have you ever seen the movie Stone Cold with Brian Boswick?
No.
That movie's fucking bonkers. We were watching What About Bob on this screen at the drive-in, and I was watching Stone Cold on the back.
Wait a minute. I know exactly.
He's like a cop who joins a biker gang.
A biker gang.
Fucking wild, dude. You like crazy-ass 90 movies?
I do.
That's a fucking trip, Matt, because I saw that. I saw Point Break at that the same drive-in.
I love that movie.
And that fucking movie came on afterwards, and we stayed. My mom and I stayed for about 30 minutes, and then got the fuck out of there.
Oh, dude!
But I do remember that movie.
You should
now.
Check it out now. Now that you're old enough to appreciate it,
and without your mom, if possible.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm calling her up.
He'll get
my mom in person in 10 years.
He's like, I'm just gonna make Sophia watch Point Break, and then I'm gonna make Sophia watch Stone Cold. And then we're going
to
watch
the remake.
You don't
have to make anyone watch Point Break. It's fucking fantastic.
Was there a remake for that movie?
Right? Oh my God. Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I had a coworker who's like, watch it. It's badass.
Was it Thomas Hayden Church?
No, it was fucking this old dude. You guys don't know him. It wasn't my other coworker. But anyway, I watched it just because so I could fucking, I didn't even mention that. Yeah. It's fucking awful.
All right, idiots. Well, we'll be right back to talk about some movies and another thing. Yeah, what? A movie and a thing?
Yeah, sure.
Because it's not really a movie.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Sawed it.
Guess what, homie?
We are back.
We are back. And in fact, we're so back.
That I need to tell you about the Patreon?
That you could tell us about Patreon, homie.
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast is full of people who are better than you. You know why? Because they know what they like and they want to support it. So they go to Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast and give us a little bit of money or a lot of bit of money to help us continue doing this fine show we're doing here and allowing us to fly in guests like the Gay Agenda.
We flew them all the way in from Lemon Grove. University. Oh, so literally like right here. We didn't fly them in from
anywhere.
They
actually walked over here. Yeah, but you know, in return, we give them exclusive,
all the way from Fantastical Lemon Grove,
exclusive content, bonus episodes, exclusive merchandise, all kinds of fun stuff, and access to the Who Goes There podcast Patreon only Discord.
And that Discord is hella tight, hella active, and hella supportive of everyone.
Hell yeah! And you know what? We are still the only show that Titty Bats supports. So if you want to talk to Titty Bats in the Discord, you can do that. And I want to say welcome back to the fold to longtime homie David Penner. If you didn't know, his dad had Mr. Rogers type show in Canada called
it's Damien.
That's what
Damien.
I said, didn't
you
I?
Said David. You said
Did
David.
I say David? Yep. Fuck. I was talking about this David. That's clearly where I was going. Damien Penner, dad had a Mr. Rogers show called Fred Penner's House in Canada. It was huge.
This is that Damien Pen Art fellow on Instagram?
Yes, it is.
Hello, Damien.
Not to be confused with Damien Penne.
Right. Mm. Well, yeah. You wouldn't want to make that distinction,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah. Get that right.
For sure.
Cool. Anywho, yeah. Thanks, Patreon. You're keeping the lights on. Well, not tonight, obviously, but if you only knew it was dark as shit over here because we're on the patio.
Oh, they can hear the crickets when I make a bad joke now.
The
timing on that was fucking great.
Great fucking joke. Oh shit. Well, anywho, the Who Goes There podcast watched a couple things. We watched Blood Machines and also Blood Quantum. It's a blood duo, dude.
It's the motherfucking Blood Brothers.
It's the Blood Brothers.
You like that band? That
was a good band. I like the Blood Brothers quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
No. We are gonna talk about Blood Machines first, because it's a much easier thing to talk about. Or I don't know, maybe it won't be. Directed by Seth Ickerman and written by Seth Ickerman and Paul Lafarge, who did the dialogue apparently. Starring Alisa Lazowski, Anders Henriksen, Christian Eriksen, Natasha Cashman, Walter Dickerson, Joel
Dickerson,
Berkman,
barely knew him.
Alexandra Flandrin, Noemi Stevens, and some other fucking people you've probably never heard of. Matt Smith.
Throw it to the guests first.
Matt Smith, what'd you think of Blood Machines, dude?
Come on, kick it off, Matt.
It's essentially a 60-minute Carpenter Brute music video. That being said, it's fucking gorgeous. There's not much of a plot. Super sci-fi. But I liked it quite a bit, actually. So much so that I did go back and watch the prequel.
Okay, cool. Luis?
Well, I kind of like agree with what he said. I do remember seeing a lot of like titties and inverted crosses on pussies, and that's funny how you invite two gay guys to watch that movie. I don't know how much we can...
This is conversion therapy.
Well, it didn't work.
Surprise, we're actually Christians, dude.
I'm fucking leaving.
How dare you? Yeah.
So, I don't want to be the...
Got him!
Fuck.
Wow. So I agree with him visually and some very gorgeous moments, you know. It is kind of like a music video, and it's how funny you mentioned that, because the music is very clearly 80s synth wave, you know, inspired. So yes, it does feel sometimes like a music movie. And well, if I have something else to say, I will wait for the circle to be completed, I guess. Excellent. About this movie, series.
Is it a mini series? Is there gonna be? There's feels like there's gonna be more, right?
I have no idea.
It's not clear.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. Sir?
I did not see it. I confess.
Boo. No wonder the conversion didn't work.
You're just supposed to act like you watched it.
Riggedy Rhett?
I think it works best to conceive of it as a long-form music video for Carpenter Brut. It reminds me, that's the thing too, I wasn't a fan, I'll say it right out of the gate, it doesn't have to be, its biggest assets are the music and the production design. This is a relatively low budget production, and what they did with art direction and color grading and the design of it is fucking bonkers. Some of it is just like, you know, that some of the visual aesthetics are just really good, I think. It reminds me, when I imagined it as an animated movie, did you guys ever see Heavy Metal, the 1981?
Absolutely. Yes.
That's what Yeah. When I imagined it, like, it seems like a live action part of the Heavy Metal movie. You know? What, and then Heavy Metal's dialogue wasn't great either, but it was animated, so you have a different, like, lens with dialogue. And that's how it was better to watch that way for me. It's split up into three sections, which I don't know if is beneficial. In this case, I don't know why they're 3 20-minute sections.
Yeah.
Well, especially when there's 5 minutes of credits at the end of each
one.
There's
so much credits.
I don't know if that works best that way. I will say that the final part, which would be the final third of the thing, was the strongest for me, which is a good thing. Yeah. It's a good thing when the last part of a three-piece thing is the strongest part visually and
thematically.
Yeah. It really gets where it's going, you know. But yeah, I'm excited to see what this guy. I mean, I can only imagine what this guy could do. Seth Eckerman is his name, I guess. And throw him, you know, if a studio throws him a couple $100 million or something, I could barely imagine what he'd do with that. So,
this has been his only credit.
Yeah, he made a short film before this, and
so
yeah,
wow, yeah, I pretty much agree. I think that as a short film or, you know, a long form music video, I think this thing is hitting real good. I don't think there's a lot of what they've got going on. I don't think it can expand further than what it's got going on. The universe, to me, feels a little small, even though it's in the fucking in the cosmos, so to speak. They don't give you a whole lot, like, which is okay. I like the lore that they've built, and I appreciate the smallness of it, so to speak. So for me, I think this is a huge win.
Yeah, you said this ticked a lot of boxes for you.
It does, dude. I mean,
I figured it would.
Horror's all over
sci-fi.
This.
Dark fantasy sci-fi with a smidge of gore and a little bit of existential dread. I'm fucking all in.
Lots of nudity.
Lots of nudity, man.
Lots.
Female nudity.
Well, to be fair,
this is for the gays out there.
I had no. I had no idea.
Avert your eyes.
Yes. Don't look at the tits.
What was the Patreon? Belladonna of Sadness. Like this, I mean, thematically, you know, this is yet another movie about the doo 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 and the VVV. Like this
wow,
one.
Wow, he really went for it right
this
there.
This is definitely, you know, female empowerment theme and all that stuff. The upside down cross on the.
Yeah. What section is that? Is that the lower abdomen, you'd say?
The thorax?
The tum tums.
Keep it simple and call it the tummy, I guess. Yeah.
I don't understand some of the themes that they were going for. Like, why bring in?
I think it's the retrieval of feminine dominance and energy from masculine. Toxic masculine.
I get that, but why bring in machines. the Christianity themes? I kind of got myself wondering. I go, well, it's cosmic, man. Who cares?
That's
about
an underground. It's an upside down cross.
Was there Christianity themes?
Well, no. The upside down cross.
Thought that was just like an aesthetic choice because it's Carpenter Brut and they're like edgy.
Well,
because they threw their logo in this thing no less than like 7 times.
Systemically, you can't. It's hard to separate over the last 2,000 years like the steamroller of fucking patriarchy and Christianity.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're going for.
Yeah, when Europe got a hold of Christianity, which started in the Middle East, people here in America that like Christianity a lot of time forget that. But
it's the moops.
I like reminding, you know, people I know occasionally that the events in that book take place in the Middle East, and they don't like being reminded of that. But anyway, so
Yeah, when Europe got a hold of that, and it fucking Western civilization steamrolled over everything with Christianity, and including any kind of inclusivity with, you know, with females and things like that. Yeah, those things are intertwined.
Okay, look, I don't...
Not to exclude Christian, but I'm saying how it's been used sociopolitically.
I don't necessarily disagree, but I think that I feel like in this universe that it feels a little bit ham-fisted. And I go, okay, you're doing an upside-down cross because, like, it's her vagina and, like, Satan is in the pussy.
Oh, so it's like the She Kills movie. Is this a sequel to She Kills?
Well, it's about inverting... the principle, like
right?
The right side up cross is masculine power, well, and now you turn it upside down.
Didn't the girl in the prequel have a regular cross, non inverted cross on her?
Yes, you are correct. And I just wonder. I don't know, man. I know it's a show. It's a 60-minute thing, and I'm looking like super into it. But I
mean, let's be real. It's like a 40-minute thing.
What's the with the credits?
Yeah, 15 minutes of credits.
What's the point?
I was asking myself the same, you know, and I came up with very different possibilities, you know, like yes, Satan in the vagina, or the fact that sex has been demonized, or women have been demonized for the witchcraft type of thing, you know, but
right.
still, not necessarily clear in any.
Well, it's weird because this is a universe where women are the sole. Of spaceships,
right,
like,
but there's also like
I like
actual,
that techno-organic
there's
thing.
Also actual
I love
women.
That idea stuff.
I was like, oh, that she's gonna come out of that fucking spaceship, dude.
Dude, my notes make like no sense, and I'm like, is she the soul of the ship? Oh, right. Apparently she is. Did they just fly into her pussy? Oh, I guess they did. Like
this is,
all
this
of that
is Matt
stuff,
texting
man.
Me yep. and Jorge. He's all. Just watched the first part of Blood Machines.
What? See, I'm glad y'all are smart enough to pick up on these themes because I was trying so hard just to follow along at a face value.
Well, no, look, for me, this is regardless of the themes there, the themes are pretty like overt to me, but they're a little on the nose, but it's style over substance with this thing. Like it's
on the vulva.
See, and
there's not strong characters or anything like that in this. I don't think that's not its. I don't remember, you know.
Like, I was wondering if it was intentionally supposed to be cheesy or if they were 100% serious.
I think yes to both.
And you asked the question, like, what's the point? And, like, I think the point is because the guy who directed this, I think, had done the video for Turbo Killer from Carpenter Brute. And they were basically like, yo, that shit's tight. Like, you want to do something longer.
Do something more conceptual.
And so they just did more cool shit, and they just shoehorned, like, a really simplistic thin plot into this thing.
I mean, look.
Sounds about right, man.
I mean, there's not a whole lot of substance when it comes to actual, like, plot beats. But I do think that they're pulling a lot of weight with what they've got going on. I mean, you've got a very simple concept of, you know, there's a female entity that is at the heart of these ships. Yep. And they're trapped. You know, you've got, you know,
need to be liberated.
What's her name? The ship that we're...
Is it Corey?
Oh, no, I have it. The ship is named Mima.
Mima?
Mima is the name of the ship.
Yeah, so Mima's basically trapped.
With a defective AI.
She can't get out, and she's trying to like break free of the ship, and you've got this captain who is like a real cock.
Yeah.
And not in the good way.
No. Not a good cock.
Not in a good veiny way. And so,
it's
you know,
a penis.
Wrong. Yes, he's a penis. Yeah, he's a penis.
But he's not cute. Like kind
what
of a dick.
No, what do you think of their nifty laser guns where the laser sticks
so
around
good,
in the air.
Dude? We're talking about Dead Space.
I wrote that laser gun in Dead Space in my notes.
It's such a cool weapon.
And they use that gun for cool shit, dude.
That's right.
There's so many people just getting blasted to shit.
Let's not
and
forget,
like,
man, that visually and the CGI in this movie is used to such a great effect.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. Like, I need to find out.
I almost don't
budget.
Care. I almost don't care the theme.
It had about 7 executive producers, too, and it makes sense because different people helped fund this. You know, that's why I'm like, but this is still, relative from what I understand, very low budget
when you see these movies that cost hundreds of millions of dollars with CGI that fucking, number one, is not designed as well, because this has very distinctive design. I liked how the ships had mouths and, again, like the biological.
Ships looked like they were alive, yeah. Like,
yeah, the biological aspect. I'm actually kind of, I know it's not the first time we've seen that, but.
Sounds very Babylon 5.
Yeah, well, it's like bit, I haven't seen something bit. Go this far with the techno-organic ship thing, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah.
It's got some Geiger stuff going on, too, like the sort of, like...
Yeah, you can't escape that.
You can't.
Yeah. Whenever you make a ship sexual, you're like, oh, it's Geiger.
Yeah, y'all caught that they had sex droids, right?
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
There were some kind of, like, familiar elements. Like, for example, the part that they use... a ritual to manipulate the external elements using the bodies of the women. Well, that can be found in Suspiria, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. And they were using like that, the physical form of the ladies as avatars.
Yeah,
for
that's
the
a good connection. I didn't even think about it, but it's very similar. Like when all the women are liberated, it's very much like that that heavy breathing dancing scene in Suspiria. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, that looked very, very familiar.
That's good. Y'all should just put Luis on the show. He brings more insight than me. I'm like, there's cool tits,
who
dude.
Do we kick out? We can't cool have tits. More than three.
See you, Rhett.
Fuck you, bro. Take myself out.
Listen, my shirt penises.
How many dicks can I put in this shirt?
Yeah, no, Rhett definitely... increases the penis length of the ship.
Yeah, so by half.
You should have like four times. Yeah.
Circumference.
You should keep him.
Yeah. Circumference.
14 around.
Yeah, I think that this is more effective as a music video and sort of like a visual effects spectacular than it is like a narrative film. And that's not a negative. I'm full in on this, and I think that this is actually a thing that I would probably be revisiting pretty regularly.
Yeah, I want to see a cut where it's edited with the three parts.
Without the credits.
Without the credits. Yep. Uninterrupted. And that's the thing, too. Again, I'm a sober guy, but if I wasn't, fucking and watch this shit.
Bro, I'm watching that shit loud. On mushrooms for sure.
Yeah, watch this at heavy metal or something. Like seriously. Like, conceptual, long, musically oriented.
Did you say watch it on heavy metal?
Oh, dude, watch it on fucking... with a lot of lead in your system.
Yeah.
You can eat a lot of fucking Mexican candy.
You like mercury
poisoning, dude.
Crack a few thermometers in your mouth.
Oh, but
mercury and chill, dude.
You know, I know I say this a lot, but shavings. This is one of those things where if you're like at a show at a bar, you know how they like have the music playing in the background, like in between bands. Like if this was on the TV and had the music playing, I'm fucking in. Like that's one of those things where you see it and you're like, what the fuck is this? But to actually sit down and watch it is kind of different. And like you said, it really does need to be chopped together because when you watch the first one, you start getting into it. And I think in the first one, they end with the big like summoning of the naked lady.
Yeah, she ascends in the air. And
but then like you're so into it, but then there's like a 5-minute credit scene and you don't see that credit coming because you're like, oh, there's still 5 minutes left in this 20-minute thing.
It breaks the momentum.
Yeah, exactly. And there's not like a skip credits button on Shudder either. So,
right.
To be fair, about the music is very well done.
Yeah.
Same why the frequencies, the composition is really tight, man. Really,
have you heard really Carpenter Brute before?
I wouldn't mind to hear that soundtrack by itself and to see if you can rock my world, you know?
You might be a Carpenter Brute fan.
Well, it is on Spotify, unsurprisingly. But yeah, Carpenter Brute stuff is pretty.
He did a great cover.
It is on Spotify?
Yeah. He did a great cover of Maniac, too. Like, nice, man. Yeah. That video's tight, too.
Yeah, I mean, this is no surprise, but this is a high recommend for me.
Yeah. I'm not huge on synthwave, but I do love Carpenter Brute, and I like this. It's heavy sci-fi, but I was still into it.
Hello?
Enough tits, blood, and gore for me, dude.
Hell, motherfucker.
It had all three of those.
Hell yeah, it did.
In spades.
It had a lot of
Jinx,
tits.
Owe me a blowjob.
You got it, brother.
Y'all can use that. That's a good one.
we did.
I'm sure they already did.
All of our lives. So, self-biography.
They're like,
I'm like, I'm so original. And they're like, honey, that's so 90s.
Oh, sweetie.
You're cute. Oh, thank you.
Oh. So the Who Goes There podcast also watched a little film called Blood Quantum. If you hold me.
If you hold me. Hold
I got him all flustered with that blowjob talk.
If you hold on for just one sec.
I finally get to hold you.
Blood Quantum is a 2020 released film.
Listen to his disdain in this voice.
Is a 2020 released
directed by
film.
Jeff Barnaby, also written by Jeff Barnaby, starring Michael Greyeyes, El Mija Tailfeathers, Forrest Goodluck, Kiowa Gordon, Olivia Scriven, Stonehorse Lone Goman, Brandon Oaks, wow. Willem Bilau, Devery Jacobs, Gary Farmer, and Felicia Shulman.
Gary Farmer got the shitty end of the stick with that name, didn't he?
The IMDb tagline is as such. The dead are coming back to life outside the isolated Mi'kmaq Reserve of Red Crow, except for its indigenous inhabitants, who are strangely immune to the zombie plague. Riggedy Rhett,
me.
What'd you think of Blood Quantum, my dude?
You're gonna switch it up and have me go first. Okay.
Yeah, fuck the guests.
Yes,
we would love to.
I enjoyed the first third of this film much more than what came afterwards. I was impressed with a lot of the visuals and aerial shots. I liked the premise. I like the thematic stuff. I mean, I love the idea of zombie. Again, we've said it every time we watch something with zombies, we're like, this fucking subgenre has been done to death. What can you do new with it? And as it started, I thought it had a good intro with there's a lot of good imagery. There's fishes being gutted and dogs being burned in trash cans and old white bitches getting their fucking windshield shit on.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, on board with all this. And then it says 6 months later. And I'm like, oh, that's ambitious. And then, it descends into a pretty rote to me, standard kind of zombie movie. And there's a female character in here that she can't fucking act for
well,
shit.
Okay, well, yeah.
But anyway, that's the thing. I don't hate this movie. I like, and I wanted to really like this movie. The first third of it, I was really fucking on board. In fact, I was messaging Jacob Denton.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, this movie's fucking great. And then now I have to take it back. Like, I didn't watch the whole fucking movie. Like,
I don't want him to think I'm basic.
No, I love what it's trying. Yeah, I think it kind of it swung for the fences with an ambitious idea by trying to get there, and I don't think it really knew what to do after a certain point with its premise.
Sirs?
Great aerial shots and stuff like that.
Did you not watch it either? You son of a bitch.
He's riding on your coattails, hey. Luis.
I'm just here.
No, to me, it's, I don't know, garbage. It's a waste of time. It didn't offer anything when it comes to a twist in the zombie stories. Yeah, I think it could have been better with the Native American element in it. It could have been much more to be explored, maybe. But some cool scenes like so in the face, kind of okay. But yeah, I must confess that I was thinking like, oh, these stupid guys from Who Goes There and these stupid movies that I have to
Well, we
watch
don't know if it's going to be good because we haven't seen it.
Yeah.
We knew about Audition. We went in blind to both of these.
You know, you didn't know about Audition when you
No. We knew about Audition.
We knew it was a fucking masterpiece, basically. Yeah.
But this one,
we eased it in before we gave you the full D.
Just the tip.
Yeah. Of course, man. Yeah. Of course.
Matt.
You know, I agree wholeheartedly with what they've said. The beginning, Dave said.
You said Dave.
Dave
said. I said Dave.
He keeps saying my name.
Can't help it.
I agree with what Dave said.
If you call him David.
Yeah. I agree with what Dave said. I didn't watch it.
Apparently, I didn't miss much. Yeah. That excludes that possibility, right?
I mean, so I really did enjoy the first third. And like Rhett said, after the 6 months later, it kind of just devolved. I did find myself going back to answer a lot of questions that I had asked throughout, like, the watching of it.
Like, what is a blood quantum? I looked that up.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't even look that up. Like,
it has to do with the amount of blood that's a person has to be considered part of a tribe or not.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
An actual.
So, like,
so I'm like, why the fuck is this called blood quantum? You know?
Okay. That makes sense. Cause,
I Googled it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, spoiler, like the Native Americans are kind of immune to this zombie outbreak because of their blood. And then going off what Luis said, that's where they leave it. You know, for a peoples that have like such rich history and such rich, I don't want to say
culture.
Like story. Yeah, I don't want to say storytelling, but you know, like they have such culture, culture crazy things.
Culture is the word you look for.
They like went into it 0%. You know, they kind of said something about like the earth spirit, and then they're like, yeah, but you know, don't even worry about.
Yeah, but
that.
Like you're immune.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like, we're immune. Yeah, it almost didn't matter. Yeah,
here's a cool little anime bit that shows like that we believe in some kind of spirits, but then like. Yeah, that's just filler. We needed an extra 6 minutes of video.
Good fucking call. Those animated bits made me wish the whole thing was animated.
Yes.
And like that.
Yep.
Yes.
Because that was nice badass.
All of that Mother Earth crying and suffering stuff. I go, dude, that's where you want to dig in,
dude. And when that guy had the mask with that crazy weapon,
that was a good image.
That was so rad. Yeah. And it's like he doesn't have the mask like at all in real life, just in the painting. And
that was actually the tribal, pure tribal spiritual element that was totally missing.
Yeah, missed fucking opportunity.
It's almost like the animator got the message that was like, yo, we're really gonna like do this thing. Yeah, no, okay, look, it's no surprise. I enjoy zombie media. I even watch the stupid stuff. I like the idea of like post-apocalyptic whatever. If it's zombies, if it's vampires, I'm in. Like I want to see the world after the thing.
Silence.
So you like current events? Is what you're
sorry,
saying? You're a big fan of current events.
the thing that's frustrating about this movie is that there is something there, man. There's something there where you have a Native American tribe who is immune to the virus, so to speak.
Just didn't know how to.
But goddamn, dude! Once they hit that 6 months later thing, I just feel like all of the steam was left was let out of the rooms, you know, and all of the tension that they were building, you know, you've got this thing where you know that there's natives living among you know white people, and it's the white people that are affected, and there is so much shit there that could be explored. Especially in Year of Our Lord 2020, right the fuck now.
Very topical.
That we could be, you know, that we could be exploring. And I understand that this movie was probably made, what, a year ago? And they couldn't have, you know, they couldn't have had the foresight to know that, hey, you know what, there's going to be some civil upheaval in this next year. But with that said, I do think that largely this movie is almost like wearing, like, Native American blackface, if I was to,
I mean, it did get actual Native Americans to be.
I get that, and that's
but the
thing.
Director's name is Jeff.
That's
motherfucking
that's
Barnaby.
And that's the part that I'm like. That's the part that frustrates me. Is I think that they like, they get to the finish line of like, hey, dude, we're dealing with some heavy subject,
right?
And then when they hit 6 months later, it's like, oh, fuck it, you know, it's some people that are immune, and
I think that it's a victim of its ambition. It was trying to do something ambitious, and maybe they got focused on, oh, now we have to focus on like world building, like the camp is set up, and then the interaction between the whites and the blah blah blah, and the script is flipped where the whites are subservient and blah blah blah, and then it tried to make some statements, like you remember
about
the
colonialism.
About colonialism, and well, the white guy's coming in, he's all speak English.
They even went so far as to like include like a smallpox blanket.
Well, not smallpox, but like,
but
yeah,
you know what
it,
I mean.
It was a reference. Yeah, it's infected with zombie juice or like zombie
and germs. That all that stuff. I mean, I go okay, yeah. What? I understand what you're trying to say, but largely you're hitting the things that we already know. Like I got it, man. Like as a person of color, and I fucking hate using that term, I go, okay, well, like what's the new thing, you know? What are we talking about here that is innovative? And all you've devolved into is another shitty zombie movie, man.
That's the problem that I'm having with this movie, is that it didn't offer any interesting twist in the typical zombie movie. You have the colony that is in town so people can protect themselves against the zombie. You have the pregnant chick being bitten. And it's like, Is there not any twist at all?
We've seen all these
tropes. And of course, let's not forget about that. In many zombie movies, the zombies just show up in the world. There's never an explanation or a clear explanation how a dead actually can be brought to life. They just there in the movies. You know, let's just fight, let's just kill them, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that to me is like so lame at this point. It's like think a little bit harder. You know
what? Like 28 Days Later addresses it a little bit.
What makes your movie different or special?
Well, and all they say from this one is that it's spread through the water. Like
they definitely did try through the animated scenes. They were like, look at this chemical plant. It's spilling stuff into the water. It's like, okay.
The Earth's reaction to
the
being
Earth
poisoned.
Is suffering. We get it, man. Like, I don't know how many times I have to see this thing in a movie.
You know what else? The movie populates itself with a lot of characters. None of whom
are consequential at all.
Well, their motivations aren't particularly that clear sometimes, and they're just not very fleshed out. They're kind of two-dimensional.
I mean, it seems like only two people really have any motivation. There's the chief who basically wants to protect his tribe and like protect, you know, take care of the people who aren't sick. And then there's one of his sons, which I didn't really understand the dynamic between his two sons and
it was two different women from different mothers, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the one is kind of like, why are we helping white people? Like, they're the reason, like, we lost our lands and all this shit, and now we're supposed to be helping them. And that's kind of the only people with motivations in the movie at all.
Well, they try to throw some, that's what I mean. I think, again, it's a victim of, it's trying to populate, it's trying to have kind of ensemble characters, like a big group of characters.
Yeah.
And show different stuff, but
they're trying to have their Rick Grimes and their Carl and their, you know, their Carol and their fucking Shooty Boy. It doesn't.
Walking Dead, dude.
I don't fucking watch that shit.
I don't fuck with that shit, dude.
Yeah.
The thing that's most frustrating is I think that Lysol as a character is the most frustrating person.
I think I've ever seen
in a movie, because, like, you know, I don't understand why he takes drugs and then he loses all faith in humanity. What, dude? Like, what?
See,
what
I lost all faith in humanity, and then I started taking drugs, and it helped.
Conceptual.
Yeah.
That's like what I did was I had flipped the script there.
Right? You can flip
the script because I did it first. I don't know.
Chicken or the egg, you know?
Yeah.
One of those things.
Yeah, Point is, it's better with drugs.
The answer is the proto chicken.
Proto chicken?
Oh, yeah. It's the platonic form of the chicken before it comes into the physical world.
God damn. Yeah, I don't know, man. I wanted to like this because I think it was Rhett. I think it was Rhett who brought the trailer to our attention, I think, a couple months ago. And it was like, you know, a Native American-based zombie film. And
he
beat us
over the head with it.
I know, and I'm thinking,
it was in the conversation. I'm just trying to stay on top of what's coming out.
And I'm thinking, I go, dude, there's so many avenues you could go down. You've got the Wendigo that you could talk about.
Yep.
You've got so much culture that you could explore.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, we've got like, oh, zombies bad, blood good. You know, white people, they're fucked up. And it's like, huh, come on, man. Like,
Well, they are fucked up.
Well, you know, you old white bitches, you are
bad.
There's ultimately, like, no resolution to this movie, right? Because, like, in the end, there's still zombies everywhere, but, like, homeboy has a baby now.
They
didn't give me a fucking zombaby. You made me sit through all that shit, and you keep teasing a zombaby, and I don't get a zombaby.
That was such a limp ending, because it was supposed to be this super bleak, like, heavy thing, and it was just like, eh.
But then he's like, no, I have, so his girl died, but it's like, okay, well, I got a baby, everything's so good.
Well, and that's the thing, dude. Like, the whole idea that, like, you know, a mother lives through the spirit of her child. Like, that's the whole thesis of it. It's like, as long as the baby's alive, well, the mother is inconsequential because she's, you know, she's living through the spirit of her
son. So in other words, women are disposable.
Yikes.
Is that what you feel about your wifey?
About
wifey?
And
he's not even going to answer that.
And here's the thing, too. You know,
careful with your answer, because the wifey,
She's right, right over there.
Here's the thing, too, that's frustrating about this.
Yeah, about
this
about
movie.
Yeah,
what about me? Yeah, what about me, motherfucker? You know, this is a film where it's got multiple baby killings. Like, we've got a baby that's being eaten and also a baby that's being cut out of a human. And then at the same time, you've got this really, like, limp, fucking limp dick ending. And I go, what the fuck are we doing here, man? Like, you've got a baby being born on a boat.
Here we go.
And then the mother's
on a boat, motherfucker, on a boat.
And then the mother's fucking dead. And then we've got this fucking guy who's like, oh, I've got my baby, so I'm all good. And these fucking actors who are just not really getting there.
They're not quite there.
They're, you know.
Okay. The you know, the female.
Which one, dude?
The one. I don't.
Which
fucking
one?
Know
yeah,
name.
You said the one who can't. I mean, there's only. What, are you talking
the
about
the one who really can't act?
The mom,
dude,
or the one that ate the dick?
The one that ate the motherfucking dick.
Okay. See, I had a problem with. I had a problem with her not because of her acting, but because she was only there to serve the purpose of a trope. She was the person who got bit, got into the camp, and then hid the bite. And it's like, okay, cool. We have another one of those. We know where this is going. I did appreciate that she ate his dong, but then after getting his dick eaten, he's just so like flippant about it. He's like, you know what? That's kind of the last straw. I'm going to weaponize this zombie. I'm going to weaponize my trauma. And he used the zombie to eat other dicks. He literally said, go eat all the dicks.
You know what's really frustrating about that shit, dude? It's like she planned the exact moment when she would turn into a zombie. That's like,
oh, yep.
That she's like, you
that's
know,
pretty fucking contrived.
The moment that I'm balls deep in this guy's dick is when I'm gonna bite.
Balls
and it's
deep
like,
in the dick, we call that docking.
I'm like, God damn it, man! Like, I get it that she's bitten, and I get it that she's gonna turn in this community of people that are immune. But it's gonna hell, you know, it's gonna cause hell with the 100 or so white people that they have in refuge there. But like, really, she's gotta get revenge on him. Mid blowjob.
Was that why? Did she do it for revenge? Because he tells a story right before about how.
We don't know.
Like,
we don't know because who cares? Because
well,
it's a story.
Well, right, because he's saying something about like her
it's
boyfriend cheated on her and she was just looking for any D at all. And so it was him. And then like something happened. And then she's there and he calls her over. They haven't said a word to each other since she showed up at this camp.
And that's
and
story,
then he's just like, yo.
To be honest with you, wasn't that embarrassing for her, dude? It's like, yeah, he was eating her out, and yeah, she was on her period.
Oh, yeah.
What's the what's the motivation for her to want to kill this guy and rip his dick off? I don't fucking get it, man. Like, okay, we've all got embarrassing sex things. Why do you want to kill the guy?
Well, I think like his friends like fucked up her boyfriend or something while it was going on. Because remember, they wound up in jail, and then he went to the jail, and he had.
Look, can we
he
talk
got his
about
crimson
the fucking
wings,
shotgun
dude.
Butt to the face and the fucking chainsaw to the face? Those things were well done.
Those things were tight.
I have to say, it had some visceral stuff.
Yeah.
He mentioned it earlier. And
that was well accomplished.
Yeah,
especially
that stuff.
The chainsaw in the face.
Yeah, the gore was well fucking done.
Yeah. That was like one of the shining graces of the saving graces.
Which makes it, again, unfortunate that it just didn't fucking conceptually know where it was fucking going, you know, because... It had some execution of certain things on its side. It really did.
I really did. This is going to sound stupid, but I really appreciated the zombie fish.
Me too, at the beginning. No. Well, I thought that was a different kind of intro than I'd seen.
Well, because I've seen another movie with zombie fish called Undead. It's way more wacky intentionally.
Yeah.
But I've always kind of had an issue with that where it's like, why do these zombie viruses only really affect humans? Like, wouldn't it affect dogs? Wouldn't it affect fish? Wouldn't it affect other things? And, you know, and they're talking about it only affecting water creatures. So, like, the deer and stuff like that are still fine, so they could still hunt. But wouldn't the deer be drinking water, too? Because if the humans can get infected, it's transmitted through water. Right. So if the land animals that are safe drank the water...
Hey.
Oh, what? Am I just expecting the movie to make sense?
It doesn't matter in this movie because nothing fucking makes any sense, man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, that's the thing. I'm like, deer drink water and everything else drinks water. What the fuck?
Yep. And then, you know, like evaporation and then like coming from the clouds.
And the
and
insects.
But hey,
zombie insects.
They'll forget all about it as long as somebody eats a dick.
Yeah. The... the part when they include, you know, a little bit of drug addiction in the movie, that kind of like got me a little bit hopeful, because I thought that maybe they were going to take
an interesting metaphor,
the concept of drugs like Flaca, you know, who totally turns people into a zombie behavior,
right?
Like this new naked guys running against, you know, windshields and cars in real life and everything. I thought it was going to take that little twist, but no.
I almost feel like there's a lot of movie left to be explored. Almost like they were like, well, you know, we've got this really, you know, this highbrow concept about, you know, this one sect of humans that are immune to the disease, whether or not, you know, it's a genetic thing or it's a spiritual thing. I just think there's something left here, man, and I want them to explore it all. I want them to get to, is it because of culture? Is it because of genetics? Is it because of any number of things? But ultimately, we've got this really trite and really kind of lame zombie movie, and that's the biggest downfall. Is it ends up being the exact same movie we've watched infinity times.
But with Native Americans this time.
But with Native Americans. And I, you know.
You know, so you were talking about where there's the old white bitch that gets her windshield shit on. That actually.
Best part of the movie.
It reminds me of a, at least it's funny to me, story.
Best part of the movie.
they made the reference that it was like the woman had thought a pterodactyl shit on her window. Years ago, I want to say like 2009, 2010, Ollie and I were at this party in like an apartment complex, and we were out on the porch, and this guy just walks up and starts talking to us, and he's clearly on something. Like, I think he was probably on acid. He was just out of his fucking mind. And he said he needed to hide because there was a pterodactyl that was trying to take a lava shit on him. And it was just following him around, shitting lava everywhere. The guy was terrified, wanted to come into the party. That was like a meme for us for several years.
Did you let him in the party?
Fuck no, dude.
Oh, come
on. That guy was.
He doesn't need lava shit all over his party.
It was probably Rhett.
Yeah. That probably was me.
He's like, bro, you saw the pterodactyl too?
Dude, if you let that guy in the party, then you have a fucking party.
Like, yeah. It wasn't my house. And I'm just like, nope.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just think that this is a big old fucking swing and a miss.
Yeah. Unfortunately, which is weird because it was so like well regarded beforehand, and like it got put into, I think it was Cannes Film Festival.
The con?
Oh, a con. Did it? Sorry. Yeah, I think it was. It was one of the big ones.
And, one of the big ones, Telluride.
Or Sundance or something.
I think it was Sundance or one of those.
Yeah, because what it was they had like a special block of films that had been nominated by other festivals. So the Toronto International Film Fest was like, this movie's so good, we want to sponsor it and get it in there. And so, so this movie actually had a lot of hype. And it was second place in the like Viewer's Choice Midnight Madness Award. So like, the people at this big film fest were highly in favor of this movie, and you know, four dorks, five dorks on a podcast are just like, well, you're fucking dumb.
four out of five dorks on a podcast think you're dumb.
The four who have seen
film festivals are incorrect.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think it's possible.
It's
got
like
caught
Last,
up in hype
last
about
of the
it.
Mohicans try to have a baby with Turbo Kid and just didn't. It didn't pan out very well.
Yeah, it could have gone a lot better.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's
Watch Blood Machines if you want to watch something conceptual and stylish and with fucking nice synth music.
And watch Blood Quantum if you love Walking Dead.
And if you fucking love Walking Dead. Did you keep doing that, or
no,
did you stop?
I'm out. I'm ahead.
God,
out.
Dude,
he's just ashamed.
This fucking
now.
Guy
he's
was watching Fear
us.
The Walking Dead.
Hey, man.
Yeah, it's a thing. I know. I don't know.
It's a thing. I can't help it. Dude, that's Blood Quantum. I mean, watch the first third, I guess, and then be and then be a limp dick for the rest of the night.
Yeah, you know they got pills for that.
They do. Yeah. Not for this movie though.
No.
Ooh.
You try rubbing your prostate a little too. That might help.
All right, idiots. Well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 264.
This is our first episode in months where we've recorded
in person.
Yeah, like 3 months.
Yeah.
And we got to have awesome guests on the show, too.
Yeah, thank you.
And,
gay!
Gay!
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, buy the Gay Agenda's new record, Penetrating, out now. You can get it on Bandcamp. You can buy the limited edition silkscreen Coctogram vinyl. There will be new merch soon.
There will be special edition Who Goes There X, the Gay Agenda t-shirts.
Oh,
maybe.
It's a crossover.
Yeah.
That'd be a fucking hella tight.
Super limited.
We got with some blood quantum stuff.
We got
on
a little
there.
Bit of money to throw at a t-shirt. So like we could probably do something here. We could probably do something here. All right, dummies. Well, next week we'll be talking about
something.
Something?
Are we gonna do the French one? Get in, or what's it called? What's it called? It's Mateo? Get in. Okay. We shall see.
Get in there.
You guys had a Instagram conversation without me because I was sleeping.
Yeah, he
was. We have plenty of conversations without you, yeah. As it turns out.
Most of them are about lifting weights.
Yeah. All right, cool. That's hella tight. Well, we would like to thank our friends from the Gay Agenda for joining us on this episode. The first episode we've recorded in person in quite some time.
Yep. And what's the name of the song we're going to play? We Dick did Print. Homo Riot. It's what?
Dick Print.
Dick Print.
Dick Print.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can unlock your phone. Well, at least the previous generation of iPhones.
Here
with
we go.
The head of your dick.
Can you really?
Yeah.
Like the fingerprint sensor?
Yeah.
You have a fingerprint on your dick?
He grafted some other man's fingerprints onto his D.
I've seen movies where they do that. I mean, on their fingers, but like.
All right, you fucking idiots. That's the Who Goes There podcast. We're out. Don't be stupid. Bye.
Bye.